You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Alicia here with David and John. We are the Lorehounds, your guides to great TV.
And the nominations are for the Television Academy 77th Primetime Emmy Awards have been announced. We've got stats and opinions.
There's only 4 nominations for the rehearsal. I'm angry for Nathan Fielder, Evanescence, and Sally Sullivan. Justice for the miracle over the Mojave.
Especially Sully Sullivan. He'd be so mad. Is he alive still?
He is alive. And people are begging for him to do an interview.
Yeah. I need a response. So today we are going to be, as David said, talking through the nominations. Now there are 118 categories for the Primetime Emmys. So we're obviously not going through all of them. So we're going to be looking.
Alicia, we're not doing all of them.
You said you had a hard out.
I do.
We're going to go through the categories, the main categories for each genre, and also just shout out the shows that we cover or the shows that we wish that we covered. And our spoiler policy is going to be that we will try to avoid spoilers to a reasonable degree, or at least give a warning before we launch into them. Some of these shows have been out for quite a while, so... Are you guys normally Emmy watchers, or do you follow the results?
Generally not. I would pay passable attention to the Oscars prior to, you leading us through the Oscars for these last couple of years. And the Emmys are just kind of like background noise for me. And I think part of my reason is that I'm always confused about the coverage period. Like, wait, was this season covered or that? It's just, it just boggles my mind. And I was looking at the outline that you prepared and it shows the dates and I'm just like, what? June to May? It's just kind of it's an off kilter thing for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a different coverage period than the Oscars. So it is, for anyone who doesn't know, the nominees were announced July 15th. So just last week. The eligible episodes are those from June 1st, 2024 to May 31st, 2025. And this is why we had this crush of content in May. It was everyone trying to get their shows out before they're nominated. And just like, you know, the Oscars in December, the last ones out of the gates, they often save a lot of the ones they think are, like Andor, for instance, last ones out of the gates end up getting nominated the most as well. Although actually the most nominated this year came out in January. But so the voting for the nominations was June 12th to June 23rd. And then the final voting for the awards themselves, now that we have the nominees, is going to be August 18th to August 27th. So right now we are right into campaigning period. So you're going to see a lot of four-year considerations and the people who are nominated being lovely on talk shows and hot ones or whatever.
Who is for the Oscars, it's the Academy of Motion Pictures are eligible voters. Is it the DGA? Is it the Actors Guild? How are you eligible to vote for Emmys?
It's the Television Academy. So yeah, you don't have to be a member of the Academy to be nominated, but you do have to be a member to vote. And there's like an 80-page rule book online with extensive requirements about how you become a member of the Academy. But it's the usual, like if you're, an invite is extended often when you're in, nominated or et cetera, right. Things like that. So, and yeah, the final voting is August 18th to 27th. And then the Emmys air on Sunday, September 14th at 5 p.m. Pacific or 8 p.m. Eastern or 2 a.m. my time. And it'll be on CBS or Paramount Plus in the U.S. and then, you know, various other networks around the world. You can find that information on their website. And the host this time is comedian Nate Bargatze. I'm not familiar with him. I'm looking forward to learning Maya about his humor. Yeah. Well, how do you say his name? Do you know?
Bargatze, I think.
Bargatze?
It looks Italian to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Wikipedia page, it says Bargatze.
Okay. Bargatze. So,
Bargatze.
Maya, come on the mic. How do you say Nate Bargatze that you like? She just raised her hand with no answer.
Okay.
Wow. Highest grossing stand-up comic in 2024 with over a million tickets sold across the show.
We're just out of it. I used to follow stand-up comedians a lot more, but then, I followed stand-up. I used to go to stand-up shows here too, but I think, you know, it's just as there's more and more content being produced, it's like my genre window narrows more and more because there's so much to keep up with.
Yeah, filtering down and out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's nominated for two awards. He's nominated for Best Variety Special for your friend, Nate Bargatze, Best Variety Special pre-recorded, and also for writing for that. So, he's up against fellow comedians Adam Sandler, Ali Wong, Bill Burr, Conan O'Brien, and Sarah Silverman. So we'll see how he does. It'll be interesting if the host actually wins an award.
That would be strange. Well, not strange, but that'd be fun,
I guess. Yeah. I feel like I need to watch all these specials to get more invested. Of course, I'm familiar with all the other people nominated. The interesting thing, though, is Bill Burr is on Hulu, but all the rest of these are on Netflix. So Netflix is just dominating the stand-up space.
Yeah, they really, and it used to be an HBO thing, and now it seems to be a Netflix thing.
Now Hulu is trying to do the same thing I saw, like, so because Netflix had its Netflix is a joke thing, and now I think they're calling it Hularious, which is just, I mean, you could do better.
You could do better.
He's up in writing against Kunk on Life, which also got an editing nom, and also SNL 50, Conan and Sarah Silverman. But David, I know you got into Kunk recently.
Was it Kunk on Life? It was the one that was out earlier.
That's the movie,
the movie. That's the new one.
Okay. You're into it. Yeah.
We were sitting down for family Friday night pizza and a movie kind of thing. And we often watch documentaries or cooking shows. Called Friday Night Pizza in a Movie, but it's just Friday Night TV and it's a homemade pizza. And we were going through Netflix and it came up and something caught us and we were like, oh, okay. You know, when it auto played the thing. And then we were like, okay. And my daughter, you know, it was hilarious. She was getting a lot of the jokes and my wife and I were really enjoying it. So it was like we just completely stumbled into it and loved it. Thought it was great.
And John, you've been a longer friend of, so, okay, is this going to cause tension in the household? Who's rooting for Nate Bargatze and who's rooting for Kunk on Life?
I don't think she's like a super fan of him. I just know she's watched him and she enjoys him. But no, she's a big Kunk fan too, Maya. So, you know, we're Kunk build here.
Will it be a heart in conflict with itself?
It could be. It's like, you know, that award, I don't know if it was an Academy Award or an Oscar where Jim Carrey beat himself in a category. and he does a whole bit of like, I refuse to believe that I'm a better actor than myself. So I'm going to share this award. Jim, come up here. It was really good. You should watch it, everybody.
So John, did you see the nominations overall? Did you have any opening thoughts, hot takes?
Too much love for The Last of Us. Not enough hate. But other than that, I thought it pretty much tracked. I think What We Do in the Shadows got some pity noms because I thought that was the weakest season of it. Mm. I love that show, but I think that season six was kind of just like it fell flat for me.
Yeah. I'm like halfway through and I feel the same.
Yeah, yeah. And overall, I think, you know, the top, like Severance and The White Lotus, I think both deserve a lot of noms. I think that makes sense. And or I think under-nominated.
Yeah, in acting, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The Boys, leave it alone. Leave it alone. you know, I those are my overall thoughts. I think House of the Dragon, appropriately nominated. That was a little bit underwhelming. Rings of Power, I think, could have deserved some more stuff, but I know I'm not supposed to go too deep in the shows in this section, so
yeah.
I'll just say, overall, I think it matched my expectations.
I mean, House of the Dragon got 16 nominations, so it's one of the biggest nominated shows, most nominated shows.
Oh, I thought it was six, reading 16.
Did I accidentally leave off in one?
I think so, in the part that I'm looking at.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, it is six. No, you're right. Sorry, okay. It's The Last of Us that got 16. That's where I was.
Yeah, yeah. Confused. No, yeah, no, not enough hate. Not enough
hate. David, what about you? What were your hot takes on the nominations?
I have no hot takes on the nominations. I, to be honest, haven't paid much attention. Life, vacation, travel, schedule, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to use this podcast as my way to get into the topic. I am your intended audience for this.
I think, yeah, I frame this, you know, like we're going through a little bit how nominations work, because I think there's a lot of people listening who are the same, who are just like, I don't really pay attention to the Emmys, but it seems to be a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I would say overall, you know, the genre faves, they continue to be overlooked in the main categories unless they're sufficiently grounded, like Andor or The Last of Us. But otherwise, you know, there's obviously, we'll talk in a minute about the streamers, but there's definitely teachers' pets in terms of which streamers get represented. So this is why we only have hair and makeup for Interview with the Vampire, and it's unfair.
That's unjust. I mean, Lestat. That is unjust. Changed my outlook on life.
I mean, wow. I know it's more than Kunk. I know it's on AMC Plus, but come on, AMC Plus. Like, I guess we'll talk a bit in a minute about the pricing, but put all your weight behind this one show, because this is the show that's going to put you on the map as a streamer, I think, more than The Walking Dead universe, or at least as much.
It was my number two last year, I think.
Like, it was my number one.
Yeah, it's a great show. Like, people are sleeping on it big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically a guaranteed number one every time it comes out. It's just everything from the writing to the production values to the acting. Just everything is perfect. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. Anyway, this is
it makes your heart dance.
Yes, I heard your heart dancing. But yeah, it is interesting to see which new shows were represented here, you know, along with the favorites like The Last of Us. And by the way, the studio, I find personally, that would be my pick for the most over-nominated show here, especially like every guest star basically got a nomination. So the tip that you can learn from that is give every famous person you know a cameo, and then you'll rake in the nominations from all their friends.
Stunt casting extraordinaire.
Yeah. But it was a strong year for especially limited series. There's the Penguins leading the pack there, but we have some interesting ones with I Just Started Dying for Sex, and I'm really interested to see that is like just extremely well done comedy, dramedy. Although, yeah, it features a character who you know is literally going to die at the end. But yeah, I'm looking forward to a year where it's not so locked up. Like last year, we knew Baby Reindeer was going to sweep limited. And this year, I think it's more up in the air. So that should be fun. I think a lot of people don't realize how expensive campaigning is. And this is a lot why certain networks are really underrepresented here. So for example, to submit for an individual achievement category. And usually it's the network that submits you, but you can, for individual achievement categories, submit yourself. And then there's also, you can submit an entire program and, you know, an entire season of a program. And the processing charges for this, they, you know, for one entry, it'll often be about starting around $500 because you have to pay per name listed. And there's usually multiple names. So that's actually fairly reasonable. But then for the actual advertising, in order to be on the viewing platform so that people can, you know, view and vote for you, hopefully, it's $2,000 to $8,000 per program that you put out there. It is better than it was when during the DVD era, when everyone got sent DVDs and everyone hated it. but also the four-year consideration events, it's $5,000 per show. And then there's all these fees that, you know, start at over $1,000 for, and go up to like $2,500 for delays or cancellations or anything that you change. So it's really expensive.
Never underestimate Hollywood's ability to make money.
Right. Yeah.
When are we starting the potties? I mean, come on. I think we could do this.
yeah. So that we can become a for profit.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the SNL bit on like a podcast award ceremony where they had like worst transition from serious topic to ad, and it was like it was a parody of like Pod Save America being like the fall of our democracy.
I love it with
Blue Chew, like
perfect.
I mean, I know there is, the Webbies do exist, and they do, of course, award podcasts, and I know some people who participated in it, and that is also just so expensive. It's so expensive.
Yeah,
interesting.
In photography, I often advise people not to submit to photographic contests because all they are is money flywheels, right? They exist to make money for themselves.
Look, the only awards show that I ever watched in full was the 2009 VMAs. And I don't think it's ever going to get better than that because that's where Kanye interrupted Taylor and there was all that drama. I just knew at that moment when I was like 13 that it's never going to get better.
Peak.
I don't know if I was watching that. I certainly remember it. I think I saw it afterwards because that's, yeah, the music side I just can't keep up with. But I think a lot of people don't realize with the Emmys is that there's a number of different Emmy awards. Like, I guess most people have heard of the daytime Emmys, that's a separate thing.
Right. The soaps.
Yeah. But there's, I mean, I guess, I think a lot of reality shows are in that one as well. There's also
Alicia, mm-hmm. You and I were like surprised at the number of episodes of that fake soap opera in Murderbot, Sanctuary Moon. And then we looked up Days of Our Lives and it was like 40,000 episodes or something like that. Like it's insane. It's insane how big these shows are. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, absolutely. No, but I think also like I noticed there's only certain reality categories in primetime and there's also international shows like we won't have El Eternauta here. There's a separate one for news and documentary, although there are documentary categories here. So I'm confused about where the lines are. I'm sure it's in that 80 page rule manual.
Book, yeah.
That I have not read all the way through. There's one for sports. And for example, Skeleton Crew is submitted for children's and family Emmys. So they were not snubbed here. Huh. They're submitted for a different Emmys category. Yeah.
It's confusing.
Nice.
It's confusing. But so we have, before we get into the awards themselves, let's just talk through the biggest players. So the three juggernauts of this season are HBO Max, which has a total of 142 nominations, up from 91 last year. Netflix has 121 nominations. And Apple has 81 nominations, and these are by far the most out of anyone.
I'm surprised by the Apple number. That's pretty good, considering they're throwing some good shows up, but they don't seem to get a lot of heat in, you know, or a lot of buzz in the talk space. But that's pretty solid.
I think they have them promoting their shows quite well.
A little bit.
yeah. So these nominations are across 14 shows and two commercials. And it has 31 total acting nominations. So more than any other network in acting nominations. So I think that's also where Apple shines, is that it gets big names. And as I was talking about with the studio, big names vote for their friends.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So they actually, Apple has the most nominated show overall, which is Severance with 27.
Nice.
And deserved.
And I said the most over-nominated studio with 23. Did right. you? Yeah. Well, I guess we'll talk more about studio later, but I thought it was okay. It made me miss the franchise, to be honest.
Yeah. 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 The franchise was good. I think I bailed on, did I bail on episode one or episode two? Just because I was expecting that it was going to keep being that kind of cringe humor that I don't enjoy. But then other people said that it moves off of that a little bit. Anyway, that's, I mean, for Apple to put that up, it looked gorgeous. The sets, the production values looked all fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, well shot. It's just not really my sense of humor, I think.
Yeah, same.
If I were a vampire, Seth Rogen would be my garlic. I do not like his acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's also what I'm rubbing up against is he's the center of the show. He's on screen at all times. And it's, I think it's also, yeah, like I said.
Wait, we're not supposed to talk about the shows, right?
Yeah, we're not supposed to talk about the show. But we do have to talk about one major Apple snub is that there was no nominations for Silo season two. I can't believe it.
None at all.
Yeah, last season it got two minor nominations for like music composition, which it was submitted for again, and for what was it, like title opening, which they didn't submit for because. But I can't believe like I don't. It should have gotten some nominations, in my opinion. I think Rebecca Ferguson at least should have gotten, or Steve Zahn. Anyway.
You know, Alicia, I will tell you too. While it Silo's on the mouth. I started Shawshank Redemption for the first time last night.
Okay.
And I was shocked to learn that that was Bernard.
Yes. he was also put forward for a nomination. We should have gotten him.
He looks way, I mean, like, usually actors, you could, like, see their face at least. Like, I don't know if it's the beard or the glasses, but, like, unrecognizable.
I think his hair color has definitely changed. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a baby face. What's his last name again, Tim?
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins. Thank you. And we also saw, we talked about him in High Fidelity too. He looks very different there as well.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty long, one of these days we'll have to do a film fest for him.
Do we?
I mean,
not every actor deserves one.
I like his movies.
It's going on the list.
Mm-hmm.
What you do with your month is your own, David.
I mean, I've created so many lists now. I now have three lists of Westerns. So watch out.
Impressive.
But yeah, so Apple representing strong, but I think, yeah, but they really, the two going most head to head is HBO, which took a big step up this year, and Netflix. But HBO, it's got a lot of nominations concentrated in a handful of shows, especially The Penguin, White Lotus, The Last of Us, Hacks, and The Pitt. And Netflix, it's has the biggest breadth of shows. It has 44 shows, 20 of them with multiple nominations. And it holds the record in the past with 160 nominations versus HBO has this year 142. So yeah, these are the ones. I find it interesting that the biggest shows for Netflix, you know, which does the binge format, the biggest shows are in the limited series and anthology category.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's Netflix is getting into a different space in some ways. I don't know. Maybe they're with the data that they're collecting on the binge. There's a different nature to the show. I don't know. That's interesting. I'm processing in real time here that thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's something like their highest number of nominations is Adolescence with 13, and Adolescence is. It was a short show that I think most of us watched within a couple of days. Like you start that and you finish it pretty quickly.
And I'm surprised that it was on Netflix. So Netflix is definitely doing the international thing, El Eternauta and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's a story that I would have seen fit within an HBO model. Right, a limited series with a very focused and intended plot line, storyline, whatever. Just it seemed like a very focused thing, and so it was interesting that it was on Netflix. It's not. I don't usually feel like I go to Netflix for my heavy hitting drama stuff. That felt more HBO to me.
I've become more aware of Netflix has been quietly representing in that area, because the thing is, these shows don't cost that much often.
No, they do not. You're right.
And so I've noticed Netflix, obviously, they put out a lot of reality content and things like that. And I think that's, and then there's the big shows that, you know, like Squid Game, not nominated this year, which is insane. We'll get to that. Stranger Things, obviously, they have the big shows like that. But quietly, I've been noticing they've been making a really big imprint at the Oscars, which you would not have expected some years ago.
Right.
So they've been quietly investing in prestige television.
Yeah. They really are gunning for the top seat.
Yeah. 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 Especially with them hosting other people's content. Like I was going the other day to rewatch Dune, and it's on Netflix right now, the new Dune movie.
Oh, wow. Other than HBO. Wow.
I'm like, why are you letting go of one of your biggest things? And I guess they make money on it, but also secures Netflix's hold on the market.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it maybe kind of behooves them in some regards to other streamers to say, okay, Netflix is the dominant player. So if we're up on their network, then we get views and we throw our logo up on there for a hot second. We still get the brand exposure. We still get the title exposure, and we're making money. We're making more money than we would if we didn't do it. So kind of makes sense.
I also think HBO has wisely stopped considering themselves like a competitor of Netflix and instead said like you saw that. I forgot. Was it Casey Bullies who did the interview?
Mm-hmm.
Just his interview that was like, look, we got too into like being Netflix and creating so much content, but now we're just trying to, you know, basically protect the brand and keep the brand as a high quality, you know, watermark.
Right.
And I think that's way smarter. And that, I think licensing out the material to other streamers fits within that strategy.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Right. Yeah. Cause they're pulling back on the whole Discovery thing, right? They're rebranding. So,
yeah.
Right.
But I mean, Netflix, they've had their skin in the game for some years now. They actually they tie for the record for the most wins at the Emmys overall. They got 44 wins in 2021. Which ties with CBS in 1974. And of course, in the 70s, we had the networks dominating. There's really just a handful. So that's really difficult to do now. And they have the most new nominations, with 11 actors getting their first Emmy nominations, including, we'll talk through some of the bigger names. And they have like they're dominating a true crime. So we have Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story got 11 noms. And then Black Mirror just had one of its top two seasons ever. So that got 10 nominations.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be right back after a quick break to talk about how the rest of the streamers fared in the nominations.
Hey everyone, David here. Wanted to tell you about a company that makes some really beautiful Middle Earth inspired products. Actually, I wish I had discovered OSHA slings when my daughter was little and I was using a lot of different baby slings and carriers. They sent me one of their Ancients of Gondor Ithildan baby carriers. Honestly, the design of this carrier is cool as hell. The quality is impeccable. It's a really smart design and super easy to use. I wish I had this when I needed it. I would have loved to show off my dad nerd cred at the time. But they also sent me a really nice blanket, the Misty Mountains Throw. And now that same daughter, she monopolizes it whenever she's on the couch. It's beautiful, just the right weight. It's brushed cotton, so it's breathable and keeps us really cozy. We've been having a lot of cold weather lately, so we're always fighting over who gets to use it. A little about OSHA. They're a family-owned Scottish company. They've been handcrafting products since about 2010. Everything's ethically sourced and made in their solar-powered workshop. Check out their website. They've got a bunch of information about their sustainability practices. That's something that's really important to me. And they have this huge line of official Lord of the Rings products. They're making baby carriers, throws, scarves, mugs, tea towels, and the designs are stunning. Like, go check out the website right now. There's a link in the show notes. New customers get 10% off with the code LOREHOUNDS. Go to OSCHASlings.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites.
With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And then we get to the next bunch of it are actually kind of three parts of the same company, but they can't count their nominations together. If they could count their nominations together, it would be 86, or maybe even, depending if you count the net broadcast, 137 for Disney. Okay. But FX on Hulu has 35 nominations for 8 shows. Disney Plus has 28 nominations. And then Hulu, without the FX part, has 23 nominations.
So as a group, as a conglomerate, they're...
It would be 86 for those three. But then if you count in things like ABC and things like that, then it's then for Disney in total, it's 137, second most after Warner Brothers Discovery.
This is why I have such trouble watching the Emmys.
It's so complicated.
It's so complicated. I can't track it.
Disney really is the most devious bastard in New York City. Sorry, because what we do in the shadows is in this category. So now I have to represent Laszlo.
That's a solid hit for Disney. You know, when they umbrella everything like that, that's significant. Yeah.
But you see, FX is the one with the most overall. So it has The Bear with 13. And this, again, it's season 3, not the season that's airing right now. Right. Although I'm not sure voters remember that.
That's a season that gives a lot of people a head-scratching moment, going like, what is this? But still, for 13 noms, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this is where I think that it might be more the name than the content in some of these. Like, I don't know. I feel like it got such a lukewarm reception, season 3. And yet 13 noms is not anything to sniff at. So
No, exactly. And as you said, What We Do in the Shadows, maybe because it's the last season.
Perhaps, right.
It got 6 nominations, even though maybe it wasn't the strongest. But I think... Well, two notes. One is that actually FX has 35 nominations this year. That's down from 93 last year when Shogun was ruling the roost.
Wow.
But I think that what's more interesting for me is what new shows break through. And Dying for Sex, I started this. And listeners, a small update. We have decided we're splitting this into two parts because we had some technical problems. So for this first part that we're recording that's going to be released now, I have watched about 3 episodes of Dying for Sex, and I see why that one came through. Now, I'm going to finish the show by the time we do part 2, where we dive into the main categories themselves, so I can talk more about that. But it's funny, it's bittersweet, and just like the comic timing and the acting and the characterizations are so on point. So I recommend Dying for Sex. And that's where, like, that's more interesting because that doesn't have the affection of The Bear and What We Do in the Shadows, where people are just nominating it because, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows should have ended in season 5.
And then we have, Disney, obviously their biggest player is Andor with 14 nominations. And I'll say Marvel and Star Wars did well, you know, in the technical categories, as you would expect. So we'll talk about some more of those.
And that was for season 2 of Andor.
For season 2 of Andor. As we said, that deserved more.
Right. And speculation of why there was a story reason for bundling, but also for the timing and the bundling, how much studio decision went into releasing it when they did, for how they did, so that they could hit these nominations. So
right. Well, they released it, all in May.
Yeah.
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 It was just ready then. It was done cooking, guys.
And then Hulu, the leaders are Only Murders in the Building with 7 noms and Paradise with 4 noms. And I just started Paradise and I'm excited that now that we've divided it in two, I'll have time to finish that because people tell me that episode 7 is a doozy.
I dropped out around four or five. But then I was like, oh, can I make it 7? Then we just got busy with other stuff. So yeah, I felt it was, even though I love Sterling K. Brown, like all day long, there were just some things that I didn't enjoy in the storyline. So
I've watched the first 3 episodes now and I'm in love.
Yeah. But see, then that's what happened for me was like, I was like, oh, okay, this is getting interesting. And then it got weird. It got stupid for me in some ways. So yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
By the time we do part 2, I'm going to finish that and Dying for Sex. Because those are the two that I picked up some shows just to be able to talk about them for our Emmys discussion. And those are the two that wowed me the most.
Right.
And then we've got those, like, I don't want to call them the losers, but the people who are tailing at the end. We've got Peacock with 19 nominations, Prime Video with 12, and Paramount Plus with 7. And I would say Peacock, actually, this is a step up for them. They are not a global streamer. You know, they have special deals with streamers around like Sky Showtime where I live. And this is actually the most nominations that Peacock has gotten yet. And if they got some of theirs, if they were able to count things like Saturday Night Live, which there is technically NBC and not Peacock, then Saturday Night Live got 31 nominations between the regular show and the SNL 50 specials.
Wow. The SNL 50 specials were particularly good. I think maybe that movie was on HBO, but there was they did a whole bunch of stuff. The music one, a behind the scenes one, and something else. And they were just all exceptional and a really great retrospective. So I thought they did their, I don't know how the season itself was because I didn't watch it. It didn't hook me back in. But in terms of a retrospective and from an old time fan's perspective, I was like, okay, that's very cool. And the music documentary, obviously Mark and Nicole and I talked about it with Nevermind the Music. And that music documentary was exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a regular SNL watcher. I don't watch every week, but I watch a lot. And I always watch Weekend Update. Because I love Colin and Michael. Yep. I mean, they're fantastic.
Yeah, I do watch that.
I hope neither of them ever leave. I hope they die in the chair. Like, just, you know, I think they have the perfect chemistry. I know people are like, oh, the classic Weekend Update. No, this is the best duo. This is the best duo we've had.
It's true. Yeah, and as Saturday Night Live has the most collective nominations of any show ever. It's been nominated 372 times over its 50 years.
Wow.
Cool. And this year, the biggest winner is the SNL 50 anniversary special, which got 12 nominations, including outstanding variety special, live writing, directing, and some technical stuff. So
very cool.
Yeah. And also the Traitors is their other big. It's a reality competition show of some sorts, I guess. Actually, it's based on a Dutch show. So a lot of reality shows are start in the Netherlands. There's like a
interesting
weird affinity here for reality. I mean, not weird, but just it's for some reason there's a specialty here in reality television. And it's something about, so here it's called De Verraders, but it's something about like, I guess it's maybe, I don't know. Is it like Werewolf? Anyone who watches this show, let us know because people have been gushing about it and it's already on season 3.
Well, never heard of it.
Yeah. And then Poker Face got 2 nominations, but it was only the first 6 episodes were eligible because of air dates.
I have not gotten into season 2. I'm not sure if I'll end up there. Season 1 we really enjoyed, but yeah, season 2 we never got around to it.
I'm going to watch it, but I have not yet. It just was released here on Sky Showtime.
Didn't seem to get a lot of buzz, so I don't know.
I think it's just been so busy. People are just tired.
It's true.
And then Prime Video, I think they are the biggest, if I'm going to call anyone a loser. Yes, I'm mad at them about the Wheel of Time. So.
you're personally writing letters to Jeff Bezos. And, you know.
I mean, a lot of people are.
You're going to picket outside his wedding.
Yeah.
Can we say it for you? Savewatt.com.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. We'll talk more about the snubs when we talk about their choice not to submit the song, The Hills of Chanchico. Anyway. But yeah, it's one of the biggest and most global, but it has won some of the least number of nominations. And I think it's because I sign up for a lot of this entertainment stuff. So I've been getting For Your Consideration ads out the wazoo on YouTube, in my email, and Prime Video has done almost none of them. So that's why last year they had 37 nominations. This year it's only 12. It would be 24 if MGM were included, but it's not in the official tally. And their biggest nominee is The Boys with 4 noms. And that's another one where I think we were kind of more underwhelmed with the last season.
Well, you know, it costs a lot of money to put on a wedding these days. And so I guess just all the promotions budget got sucked up by the nuptials. Sorry. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Paramount, you know, they have similar problems with Peacock, and that they're not global. They also show on Sky Showtime here. I'm waiting for Paramount and Peacock to just
merge. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very mad. This is something that happened this week. I'm very mad at Paramount for canceling. What's it called? Oh, I'm sorry. This is their merging partner that did it. CBS canceled. This has to do with it, right? This was part of their merger. Canceled Colbert.
Oh, right. Yeah. There'll be some pieces out about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was nominated this year. I have a feeling he might win.
might win as a protest vote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And honestly,
not that he wouldn't deserve it. He deserved it.
No, yeah, of course, of course. But he's up against worthy people who also deserve it. But I feel like the needle's going to tip in his direction now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most watched late night show by far. Mm. And there is no way that that was made for a financial decision. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. No, I agree.
E-Mount or Paracock?
Oh my God. Not the second one. Jesus
but
Christ.
Yeah. But Paramount, like they're basically, their two claims to fame are Taylor Sheridan and Star Trek, which Taylor Sheridan got 4 nominations, Star Trek got 2, but they're all in technical categories. Like they're not really being recognized. It's just sort of like a nod. Like we see those popular programs noted. And then the 7th nomination is for 1 editing nomination for Frasier. So yeah, they're relying on comfort shows, I feel like.
It'll be interesting next year if Strange New Worlds gets any nominations, because it seems like the latest season's getting a lot of heat. So
yeah, I know people love that. And yeah, I can't wait. I need to catch up on Star Trek, but right now I am working through.
You need to catch up on everything. We just need to plug you in the Matrix and, feed you some spice tea and plug you into your brain into the back of a computer and to go.
There's certain shows I would just download to just like have memorized, but there are other shows that I really want to be the experience of watching in real time.
So you're considering which ones you want to Murderbot through it?
Yeah, exactly.
David, you got to watch Murderbot because it's a very memeable show.
Nice. Everyone's going to watch Murderbot. I hope it's represented next year.
Yeah.
It did get renewed, so we're not worried about that, at least.
At least it's that. It's been popular enough for that. Yeah, and then Paramount, again, like if they could count their other entities, you know, like MTV got 8 nominations for Drag Race, plus 2 for Untucked. The Daily Show, which is Comedy Central, got 8 nominations, plus 3 for the individual hosts and other short-form projects. So, I mean, I feel like I don't want to advocate for mergers, but I can see why it would help them in things like this, just to officially have things under the same roof.
Right.
I mean, all right, that's basically it for the lead up. We're going to stop here this time. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk through the major categories split into 4 sections. We're going to be talking about the dramas, especially the best drama nominees, and shouting out other shows that we've covered or talked about, then comedies, then limited or anthology series, and then other. We're just going to do a little light talk about the films, the reality talk shows, things like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, a little bit like our Oscar coverage. Break it up a little bit. Yeah.
Exactly. I like it.
Yeah. So we've all pledged to watch every single episode of Every Nominee until before then, right?
Absolutely. Wait, I'm trying to think. What is I have watched most of them. There are some, like The Pit, I haven't watched. I guess I don't know if I'll have time.
I might have to get my Clockwork Orange set up out. And,
or The Diplomat, I have not.
Well, I've never seen that movie, so you can't tell that to me because I can't read.
Basically, we'll just pry your eyeballs open and force visual feed you.
But yeah, in the meantime, what else? We just finished up Murderbot. We just shouted that out. Season one done. Season two greenlit. Everybody watch it. Yeah, John, you and Marilyn, you are deep into recording Foundation season three.
We sure are.
Just beginning watching it, but so far off to a good start.
David is insane. I've learned from this season is that the entire, not just us, but like the entire world seems to be loving this season. Good. And David's over here on his island.
Yeah.
Being cranky about it.
Remember, I was cranky about the Severance finale as well. So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
We all have our.
But I loved The Bear. I absolutely loved season four of The Bear. So.
All right. That's great. Can't wait to get there.
Well, I've read 5 Asimov novels in the last like month.
Yeah.
So.
I've watched a ton of Superman and Val Kilmer movies recently. That's where my time's been going.
Very nice. Well, save it for second breakfast. Let's all talk about our various hyperfixations there.
So, David, you're going to be covering Alien Earth. I don't know if you want to talk.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to do it squadron style. We're going to have a rotating guest host because a number of people have expressed interest, but because of schedules and life. And then, I decided, hey, let's just do a kind of a little rotation. And I'm going to lead off with you and Luke, Alicia, to open it up. And Ron is in, and Ian, and Aisha. And I got to figure out the rest of the schedule, but that should be kind of fun. Looking forward to it. It seems really interesting, and it's getting some good buzz to start off with.
I mean, Noah Crawley, he did one of my favorite shows of all time, Legion, and Fargo, I know, is a favorite. I still haven't gotten to watch that, but I know a lot of people, you loved it.
your list of I haven't gotten to watch on this episode.
I mean, there's so many shows, and I watch so much.
Alicia, you need to do a day of like standing in front of a fireplace with a list of movies and just deciding which ones go into the flames. These are the ones I will never watch.
I do that every year with my annual list. Like right now I have like 400 movies on my 2025 movies list. And once the year's over and I see which have gotten nominations and stuff, there is a feeding into the flames of like, yeah, not my genre, not going to be watched. Nope.
Fair enough.
But yeah. And so we're going to join you to start Alien Earth. And then the week after that, Jean, Aaron, and I are going to be starting Peacemaker season 2, which I am super excited about. Like Alien Earth and Peacemaker are two shows that I'm potentially saving space in my top 10 for, because that's my top 10's already really crowded this year.
Cool.
That's so I'm really excited about
that'll be a Peacemaker's fun coverage with like, you and Jean and Aaron. That's great.
Yeah, we're doing crossover with Radioactive Ramblings.
Perfect. Love it.
And speaking of Jean, we have our Superman coverage is already out. We've got Fantastic Four First Steps, the movies being released this weekend. So look out for a breakdown next week. And Eyes of Wakanda is also coming out, a 4-part miniseries, drops at once in August. And if you have thoughts about any of these things or thoughts about the rest of our enemies coverage, please send that to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. And we also have chat on our Discord. You'll find the link in the link tree in the show notes. And there's awards chat going on under seasonal and also under general television, where we've been talking about the Emmy nominations. So jump in and join us. David, what's going on in Supercast and Patreon?
Quick shout out before I do that. Quick shout out for The Bear season 4. Ron and I got together and just sort of talked about our thoughts and feelings about the season. And then I've got an interview with Tansy Gardam coming out on her latest podcast about Going Dread, talking about the 2012 Dread film paired with a movie called The Raid. And so we have a really interesting conversation about the movie industry and Alex Garland and stuff like that. So that should be out this week. Supercast and Patreon. Give us your love, I guess is a way to do it.
The season pass for Andor is still open. We've gotten a few folks trickling in. It seems like the numbers are up on that. I guess people are finally catching around. It's kind of funny to watch that.
Yeah. Alicia, you were looking at our numbers and you're like, people are just listening to our backlog right now.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that's happened before, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. We have a new format of a show called Whatcha Watchin', and it's a fun thing where we get to do sort of 20 minutes, and this is subscriber exclusive. So if we pick up on a show that we really want to talk to somebody about, we can. So we've got Life of Chuck. Alicia, you and Marilyn talked about that. Mm-hmm. You and I then talked about The Eternaut. John and I talked about Avenue Q, and then we also talked about Predator, Killer of Killers. So that's a fun little... some light snacking material for the subscribers. And then coming up for Second Breakfast, we're going to be recording that next week. And then for our 11Z's monthly movie poll, you, Alicia, had Val Kilmer Film Festival. And the one film that you regret putting on the list
won.
Heat. So I'm going to be talking about the Michael Mann film Heat, which Val Kilmer only plays a small part in.
Yeah, so I watched all the Val Kilmer movies anyway, and I squeezed in some bio stuff, especially from his, I highly recommend his documentary from 2021 called Val, which is like just a really surprisingly open and vulnerable look back on his life and career. And I'm glad he got to tell his own story before he passed away. But then Heat is going to be mostly about Michael Mann. I am listening to Heat 2, the book now.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And there's going to be a sequel, I guess, coming up soon. So
yeah, it'll be based on this book. Yeah.
But where's Val Kilmer?
Exactly. Well, so the rumor is that, so the book is a sequel and a prequel at the same time. And the rumor is, and I don't know if like the timelines worked out or whatever, but at one point there was talk about Ryan Gosling playing the younger version of Val Kilmer's character. Yeah.
I'm sick of looking at Ryan Gosling. I'm sick of looking at Pedro Pascal. Can we be honest about this?
Dude has like three movies out this month.
You know, when you were talking about Fantastic Four, I saw an ad for Fantastic Four and I was like, dude, you're very talented, but I'm kind of sick of looking at you by now.
Go on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I love Pedro Pascal, but yeah, I understand that. I understand that. So, John, what's up with our affiliates?
Oh, all the things. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. we have Properly Howard doing their Bacon Wrap season. A lovely time. Go listen to it. It's about Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, I should be on The Fugitive. Yeah.
This is very exciting. This is news to me.
Okay.
And we've got Radioactive Ramblings. I think they're not releasing much right now, but they have a ton of Fallout lore out there to prep you for season two coming out in December, I believe it is.
Yeah, end of the year.
Who else we have active? We have Nevermind the Music, always active. Why am I even asking? They're always active. A weekly podcast on music and psychology. I know we're in talks to do some collaboration for their season two. So that'll be a lot of fun.
They did Billie Eilish recently and I cannot get that song out of my head since.
What song?
Murder. No, what is it? It was the one that was used as the opening credit scene for True Detective.
Oh, okay. Okay. I still have to, that's another show I need to watch.
Don't even watch it. Stop. Alicia, you don't. No, put that one into the fire.
This is not the Alicia haven't watched yet podcast.
I give you my blessing, Alicia, having covered it in full, throw it into the fire.
I know you're not a fan. It's definitely low in the list. For me.
For shame.
I know.
He's a little
David, I owe you one of not liking something you like after you Foundation.
There you go.
Alicia, yeah. You've got all your stuff going on. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we'll shift just Dune part one episode coming out right after this one. We have the background episode and then we're breaking down the Dune book there and getting back to the Star Wars canon timeline podcast ASAP as soon as we can get Dune up and running. Do you want to give the shout outs, John, to our special thank yous? I have some music set up.
Okay.
So this is from the lo-fi folder. It's Neon Lounge.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
John,
our Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Dealer the Thriller. I can't do this for that long. Dork of the Ninjas, Dube 71, Athena A, Tina, The Stew, Nancy M, Ghosts of Partition, and Radioactive Richard. And our lore masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E., Brian P., S.C., Peter O.H., Adam S., Nancy M., Doob 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Garrett C., Matthew M., Sarah M., D., oh my god, I'm skipping things, Andre B., Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Alex V., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Deli V., Mothership 61, Gnarls? Oh my god, that was a perfect spot to end the music. Gnarls? Pause. Kathy W., Lestu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Neil F., Ben B., Scott F., Stephen N., Julia F., Kali S., Ilmario, /Tim, Paul K., Bobby C., Adrian. Thanks everyone for all your support. By the way, on Discord server boosters, did you know that you can get like free Nitro now for doing quests now? You can watch video ads basically. So you can get those benefits now.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I did not know that.
Some people like stuff like that.
Yeah. Actually, that sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
Right. Well, see you all hopefully on Discord. See you all back here in 2 weeks for part two of this episode and plenty going on in between. Bye.
Bye.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.